بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
A presentation of Quran Sunnah educational programs. Visit us online at www.qsep.com.
الإيمان باليوم الآخر.
Faith in the last day.
الله لا إله إلا هو ليجمعنكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه.
Allah, none has a right to be worshipped but He. Surely, He will gather you together on the day of resurrection about which there is no doubt.
Alhamdulillah. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today's session inshallah will be about the faith in the hereafter. And this is one of the six pillars of faith. The faith in the hereafter can also be considered as a part of the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it simply means the faith in returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the faith in the hereafter consists of several stages. The first stage of the hereafter is before death, and that is moments before death. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a true hadith narrated by Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, mentioned that the faithful, the man who is يعني, with the right faith, the pious person, when he is about to die, just before the soul is taken off his body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for him to see from as far as his sight can go, to see angels with shiny and lighting faces and with nice clothes, carrying a nice coffin from paradise with a nice perfume that he can smell. So the faithful will be very happy, and he will be ready to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be loving to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of what he saw. And then, because he is loving to meet with Allah, Allah will be loving to meet with him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the true hadith, he who loves to meet with Allah, Allah loves to meet with him. On the other side, the kafir, the non-faithful, will see an opposite scene. He will see frightening-looking angels with clothes made of fire and with a perfume which is so ugly in smell, and with a coffin that is made of fire. So therefore, he will be fearful, and at that moment, he will be wishing not to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he knows what his fate is going to be. And that's the meaning of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who dislikes to meet with Allah, Allah dislikes to meet with him. The next stage is when the person dies, and that is when his soul departs his body. In the case of the faithful person, the angel would come to him and would bring the soul out smoothly from the faithful. And in the case of the non-faithful, the angel would pull strongly the soul from all the body of the non-faithful. The reason is because this person, the non-faithful, he is in a very fearful state, and therefore his soul tries to spread in all his body to escape. But of course there is nowhere to go. So the angel would come and pull the soul from all the body. So this will be يعني, a very hurting يعني, experience for this person, the non-faithful. While in the case of the faithful, the soul will be taken out so easily, just like the drop of water comes out of a bottle. This all has been mentioned in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and many other hadiths, true hadiths. For the faithful, after his soul is taken, as narrated in Sahih Muslim and other hadith sources, the angel would take this soul in a very respectful way and move it from one heaven to another until it meets with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah orders that this soul goes back to its origin. And when this soul passes by every heaven, the angels would be greeting it and showing respect for it and honor for it. And the opposite is for the non-faithful, where the soul would be taken up, but no gate of heaven will be opened for him, and the angels will curse him instead of greeting him. They will curse him and they will say, "Whose wicked soul is this?" And it will be ordered to go back to its origin. Then for the faithful person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the person to sit up, so he will be sitting up. Of course, this is the one of the things of the unseen. يعني we don't know how would he be sitting up in his grave. These things we don't ask how, because there is no way to get the information about them by thought. So the angel will ask this person, the believer, "Who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? And what is your religion?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to his grace, will make this person able to answer those questions properly, and he will be passing this test. And this is called fitnatul qabr, the affliction of the grave. The martyr has been exempted from this test because it was enough for him as a test to see the sword in front of him, the sword or whatever other weapon, and then he was steadfast fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was enough of a test for him. Therefore, he will be exempted from the test of the grave and from the punishment of the grave. And these are some of the virtues of martyrs. And there are other virtues which we, inshallah, will mention later on. For the faithful, he will be answering, "Who is your Lord?" Lord here does not mean the creator or the provider. It means, who is the one whom you have worshipped? Who is the one who deserves to be worshipped? So, because those two words, Lord and God, or Rabb and Ilah, if they are mentioned separately, each one by itself, then it includes the other one. يعني, Lord could mean Ilah, and Ilah could mean Lord. But if they are mentioned together in a position like in Surah An-Nas, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ, they are mentioned here together, then each one carries part of the meaning of tawheed, or part of the meaning of Allah's descriptions. So the person who was worshipping Allah alone, not associating partners with Allah in worship, he would answer, "My Lord is Allah." And the person who was committing any form of great shirk, which takes someone out of Islam, will not be able to say, "My Lord is Allah." And therefore, he will not pass this test. And similarly, when someone is asked, "Who is your messenger?" or "What do you know about this man?" meaning the messenger. If he was truly following the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, "This is the messenger of Allah." But if he was following some other person in a manner like following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani giving another person total submission, giving another person the virtues of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he will not be able to answer. And his answer will be either, "I don't know," or he will be confused and he doesn't know what to say. And then, "What is your religion?" If he was truly going by Islam, the same Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will say, "My religion is Islam." He will answer. But if he was making his Islam from his pocket, or from the pocket of someone else, or from the thoughts, or from the desires, or whatever, then, like unfortunately many people nowadays, their Islam is from their pocket. Whatever they find suitable, this is Islam. Yani you find women here in our country who don't cover their hair, who don't cover their shins or their legs, and when you tell them, why do you do this, they say, "Alhamdulillah, Islam is easy, we don't have to do this." So this is not this type of person will not answer, "My religion is Islam," because what Islam is this? This is not Islam. And if you think it's Islam but it's not Islam, that doesn't make up for your crime. And ignorance is not always excused. Sometimes it is excused if this kind of ignorance is by most of the people. But if you come and claim ignorance about something that should be known for everyone, then you are not excused by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is for the believer, and the disbeliever will not be able to say, "My religion is Islam," because he was not acting upon Islam. And then after that, for the faithful, the grave will be widened, as in the hadith, as much as one can see. Yani it will be enlarged, so big, and it will be lightened with lights, and a gate will be open from paradise to his grave, so that the smell of paradise will come in his grave, and he will be shown his position in paradise. He will be told, "Look, that's your position, that's your castle, that's your place in paradise." And when he sees that, he becomes so happy that he hastens and rushes and he says, "Oh my Lord, order the hour to come now. Order the day of judgment to come now." And he will be told, "No, keep quiet. Sleep as a new bride in her bed." And above all that, the faithful's soul will be in paradise. It will be hanged on a tree in paradise. While the martyr's soul will be installed in a bird which will fly all over in paradise. And that is another virtue of the martyrs. So we have here the believer's soul will actually be in paradise. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, believers' souls will be hanged on the tree, on a tree in paradise. And the martyr's soul will be installed in the hearts of birds which will be flying wherever they wish in paradise. That's why Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that the grave is either a garden of paradise or a ditch of fire. Because for the non-believer, the opposite will happen. The grave will be tightened so much and made so small and tightened to the degree that the kafir's bone, due to the tightness of the grave, they will come together. They will go into each other because of the tightness of the grave that will become. And also, it will be made without lights at all. So he will be left in complete darkness. And at the top of that, a gate from hellfire will be opened so that he will be tasting fire and smelling the bad smell from fire. And he will be shown his position in hellfire also. That's your position. Actually, he will be shown both his positions in paradise and hellfire. He will be told, look, that would have been your position in paradise if you had become faithful. And this will make him painful more, because he saw what he lost. So this is a big pain for him again, to show him his position in paradise. And for the faithful, he will be shown also his position in hellfire. And he will be told, that would have been your position if you have not been faithful. So he will be so happy that he did not go there in hellfire. So this will add more happiness to him. And all these things are mentioned in true hadiths about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the hadith of the Al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after finishing engraving a Muslim, he stood on the grave with a small stick in his hand, moving it in the ground, and he started mentioning the situation of the faithful and the non-faithful. Some people nowadays, from this hadith, claim that it is sunnah to give a lecture at the time of the funeral when they are done with burying their brother or sister. But actually, this is not a sunnah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there is no narration about him that he was doing it often, or he has done it more than one time. So it doesn't become a sunnah like that. The sunnah is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeats it and does it, let's say, every time or many times, then it becomes a sunnah. One of the fundamentals of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which you will find in all their Aqidah books, are the mentioning of Fitnatul Maut and Fitnatul Qabr and Adabul Qabr and Na'imul Qabr. Fitnatul Maut is explained by two things. Fitnatul Maut before death, Fitnatul Maut after death. Fitnatul Maut before death, when the person either sees the angels in a good way, like the believer, he sees the angel of death carrying a nice coffin and a nice smell. So this is one thing. And The other one is the kafir who sees the opposite. So this is fitnatul maut. And also after his soul is taken, the questioning, the test by the two angels, who is your Lord? This is part of the fitna. So-called Islamists like Hizb al-Tahrir, they deny all those things. They deny fitnatul qabr, adab al-qabr, and na'im al-qabr, and all this. They claim that it's not mentioned in Quran, and that it's only hadith al-ahad, and something like this. Actually, this is mentioned in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Ali Fir'aun, or about Ali Fir'aun, "An-naru yu'radhuna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya. Wa yawma taqumu as-sa'ah adkhilu Ali Fir'aun ashadda al-'adhab." This is clear that Ali Fir'aun will be tortured by hellfire day and night. And on the day of judgment, make Ali Fir'aun taste the most severe punishment. So these are two types here mentioned in this verse. There is no way to change the meaning of this verse. And there are other verses in Quran which the scholars have explained to mean the situation in the grave, whether the torture for kafirs or the joy for the believers. There is no excuse for someone to reject a true hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially if it is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim and other scholars of hadith. There is no excuse for a Muslim to reject it. Anyone who does, then at least he is an innovator. At least. Otherwise, as Imam al-Barbahari said in Sharh al-Sunnah, a Muslim would not be turning into a kafir unless he worships other than Allah, or turns back or turns away a verse from Quran or a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a cause of becoming unfaithful. And this is agreed upon by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that someone who rejects the true hadith outright without an excuse, then he is not a Muslim. Because there is no difference between what the Prophet says and what Allah says. There is no difference between a true hadith and what Allah says. They are the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "We have revealed to you both the Quran and the wisdom." And the wisdom has been explained to be the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like Imam Shafi'i said. And he said, "I know of no difference amongst the scholars that the wisdom here means the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, "وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا." He says, he who opposes the messenger, he didn't say he who opposes Quran, he who opposes the messenger after guidance has been shown to him and follows other than the path of the faithful, then Allah will leave him alone with that what he chose, and will make him taste severe punishment in the hereafter.